January 21st to order. Can you please get a roll call? Commissioner Feller Payne?
Here.
Commissioner Mack?
Here.
Commissioner Martin?
Here.
Commissioner Shiro?
Here.
Chair George?
Here.
Will you please stand and follow Commissioner Shiro in the Pledge of Allegiance?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
And we'll move on to agenda review. Do the commissioners wish to revise any items on tonight's agenda? Then we'll move to community comments. This is when we invite the public to come speak on items not on tonight's agenda. Good evening, sir.
Not made my song. I mean, Peter Dole. I've been in not second place for 60 years. But it's being here at Rover Beach. You guys had 2,500. Saturday, I said. Safeway for 37 years in the meat department and being a meat project, 5 years of drought. And I never seen such dumb and stupid and incompetent, irresponsible people in my life. And I'm a Quebec, and I didn't go over there for this stupidity that's going on. So I've been back in the Midwest 5 months. I drove with my son, daughter, but I came back 3,000 miles from Dayton, Ohio to here by myself, 83 years old. And I was running with the truckers, 80, 85 mile an hour. Now, that's not right for an old man my age. But I'm German. And so I come back, and I was tired. I was exhausted. And I was going down Grand Avenue because I've gone down that thing for 60 years. Two lanes, eucalyptus, now it's four lanes. But you got a sand pile right there at Cessna. And smart and final. Left turn to go into Cesslock. They come out of smart and final. And you got a sand pile in the middle of the street. 9,000 miles. I never saw anything like that. And during the holidays, somebody come out and got into the lane going westbound. Me. I'm head up. But I took the sandbox because I got a pickup truck. And I've been back and forth four times to I by myself. So I think it's incompetent, irresponsible, dysfunctional to have a planning commission to allow that to be there in that right of way. You need that for people going left in and left coming out. You don't need a sand pile there. You know what I'm talking about. I know you've run a lot. And so I want it removed before somebody gets hurt. And then I told the council here 10 years ago, you should put a parking garage on Cortland. No, we're not going to have it. Years ago, bro, the guy over here has Walmart, and the movie star, the governor, the president, Reagan, was up there. And we have, my brother-in-law ran cattle across that area. We run cattle all over this place. And Madonna was building a road. He said, you should take and put that bridge across right now, because otherwise you'll never get, and look, Briscoe Road, you know. The other last thing I will say is Oak Park. That is horrible. That's, I live 70 miles from Indianapolis Racetrack. And that little town in there, 5,900, has six stoplights, crosswalks, and everything to let the people come through there that's going to Ohio. But here, you set up, you know that stuff. You should set up on top and watch where the cars go. Left turn, right, right, left turn, left turn. Nothing right. So, back there, I ran into several places. My grandson's in Wichita, Kansas, teaches school biology. And they built a school $60 million grant for it. And out in a cornfield. How about those 460 people there? But they have common sense. Common sense. That's all I had. I was born and raised in one-room school back there. Pennies, nickels, and dimes. The Depression. And I started Safeway at a dollar an hour. Right here. I could talk all night. But I think you need to put crosswalks in there because it's your people coming down that right of way. And I try to walk across it twice, and I can't get across. So a member of Grover Beach told me to walk up to Saratoga 83. I want you guys to get paint, and I want you to walk up there at your age and see what it's like. That is horrible. Korean veteran have to walk the top of the hill, walk back. But it's your vehicles. Yes, it's just like I told him here one night. We got this road here. Our granddad had this, and I had this, and my cattle. We're wearing out the road. We're wearing the road out. Well, we're not going to fix it. You fix it. And that's what happened. Grover Beach fixed it. Of taxpayers. You know, I said enough. But I hope you do something about the sand pile. And I hope you do something about Oak Park so people can cross there. At one time there last year, the first of the year, I've helped 14 people because I got my Ford truck. So I just parked it out there and put the turn lights on so people could walk across. There was a lady with a kid running across there with a bag of groceries, crying. I didn't go to Korea for that, and I don't live here for that. I'm sorry.
Thank you, sir, for your comments. Did anyone else wish to speak this evening? Did anyone else wish to speak this evening? Thank you, sir. I'll close the community comments and move on to written communications. Do we have any additional written communications?
Not this evening.
We'll move on to the consent agenda. Approval of minutes for February 7th, 2017.
Comment.
Or corrections for the minutes?
I just thought we had a lot more comments on the trees other than pruning. I think we gave a longer list than that. And I want to know if staff's looking into that and amending the tree ordinance. There's probably four or five items that we had discussed.
Yes, so this goes back to, you know, we're typically doing action minutes. We kind of expand them on items such as this where there's a lot of discussion, and we've already had a meeting on most of those items, so we're moving forward on that.
Okay. I'm just hoping when it comes back, some potential language, that it's more than just the pruning issue. The value of the tree, I'm correct. Okay. Thank you.
I had the same concerns.
So is it the 1029 Ash Street that's going to come back? Because I stepped down last hearing.
No.
Okay.
I move that we approve the minutes of February 7th, 2017.
I'll second.
We have a first and a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Motion carries 5-0. On to public hearings. 8A, consideration of development code amendment 16-003 and ordinance amending the section 1644050 of the City of Aurora Grande Municipal Code regarding the floodplain management. The location is citywide and the applicant is the City of Aurora Grande. Could we please get a staff report?
There we go, sure. Trying to turn my microphone on. Sorry, still getting used to the council chamber upgrade project. So this evening, the first item on your agenda, as you mentioned, is the Development Code Amendment 16003. This is amendments to Aurora Grande Municipal Code Section 16.44.050 regarding floodplain management. Given the recent storm activity, I know floodplain might set off some alarms to people. Any activity as of late is not necessarily associated with this. Two separate issues. Tonight we're talking about the FEMA studies and things like that that actually dictate where our floodplain is, not necessarily will there be flooding associated with anything that first off, a little bit of background about this project. The floodplain ordinance was last amended in 2013. We do kind of regular modifications to this ordinance to keep it current, and that's part of what we're back here doing tonight. So the National Flood Insurance Program is actually administered by FEMA. So FEMA goes out and does what are called flood insurance studies and look at the different areas of floodway and floodplain boundaries and revise what they call the flood insurance rate maps. If you live in the area near a waterway, you are probably familiar with FIRM maps, as the acronym stands. And so that's what we're doing tonight. FEMA has done updated flood insurance studies and has revised their flood insurance rate maps. What that means to us, while there were no specific changes to our actual floodplains within the city, some of the map tiles, as we like to call them, were out in the county areas, were adjusted. And so because our part of our city is on that updated tile, even though our internal city boundaries don't change, they do get updated. So the last flood insurance study that was done becomes effective May 16th of this year. So part of this development code amendment is actually going into the section, if you look at Exhibit A of your resolution, that's the proposed ordinance proposed to go to council. And so that first section, Section 1, is really modifying that entire section in its entirety. So sometimes what we'll do is you'll see strike through of words that were deleting and underlines of words that we're adding. This time what we're doing is just replacing the thing in its entirety. So really what to note is what you see on the screen, which includes the updated dates. So previously we were referencing old studies back from 84. We do have language in there that's supposed to adopt the most current flood insurance study. We are keeping that in there, so this quote-unquote subsequent amendments piece, we do that to not have to update these every single time that they are updated by FEMA, so we don't have to go back and update our ordinance. And we are working with the California branch of FEMA to make sure that that language is still applicable and will still carry us through. So if the commission votes to move this forward to the council, there might be a tweak if they want to add a word here or take a word there, but we believe that it's still consistent and will still allow us to just adopt the newest maps that are updated. But we did feel that getting the date most current, as well as updating the address of City Hall, since in the municipal code it still had the old City Hall address, we felt that that was reason enough to kind of bring this forward and do an update to that section of the ordinance. So that is the changes to that section of the municipal code. For the most part, in terms of environmental review on this project, we did review it in accordance with CEQA. We found that it's exempt per Section 15308 of the CEQA guidelines. So that's actions by the regulatory agencies for the protection of the environment. So text update, trying to maintain the floodplains. That's how we were looking at that. Because this is a citywide document, it's not site-specific or anything like that. It is noticed citywide, which does include publishing a public hearing notice in the Tribune, as well as posting the notice at City Hall and on the city's website. Additionally, we posted the agenda and staff report in accordance with Government Code Section 54954.2, and we did not receive any comments from the public on this development code amendment in front of you tonight. But with that, it is recommended that the Planning Commission make a recommendation to the City Council to adopt the ordinance. So that's the recommendation for you tonight, and I'd be happy to answer any questions that I can.
Thank you. Do any commissioners have questions for staff?
Yeah, I did. For clarification, you had stated that there were no changes in the boundaries in the city. It was in the county, and it was on this file. Because my comment would have been if the property owners were notified, but there hasn't been any changes. But if you do that on an automatic change, when it comes through and it doesn't have to come back to us, if there is a change in the boundary within the city jurisdiction, do you notify the property owners?
Yes, so every time that those are updated, the property owners are notified. Actually, I believe it's by FEMA itself. We get copied when there are some changes, and sometimes they'll change the flood elevation as well. So property owners, I believe, are notified, as well as the city.
Thank you.
if we wouldn't approve that, then we just are, then all of a sudden our city is no longer eligible for relief in insurance. Is that
there is a process with which we can kind of dispute those boundary changes? My understanding is they don't happen all that often, typically because they're done by engineers and engineers have certain certifications, things like that. But there is a process if you want to dispute that. I don't recall us having disputed one in recent memory.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Mack?
Yeah, a couple questions. Well, this ordinance kind of dovetails with a map, which wasn't included with our package, so I'm a little concerned that it wasn't here for us to review as well to verify if there's changes or not changes.
Well, again, it says in the letter from FEMA that there are no changes. So I apologize if you would like to look at the map, but again, there are no changes to areas within our city boundaries.
Which leads me to my next question. Weren't there some changes on that Corbett Canyon project that I believe, I think it was the PACE project out there by the bridge overpass, or wasn't it graded substantially and a change from that original map?
Well, I'll hesitate to discuss specific properties and projects and things.
Yeah, we don't have to discuss the properties. Just discussing the flood map itself.
Yeah, so
would that change reflect that?
That wouldn't necessarily affect the flood insurance study and the resulting firm maps. What that would do is potentially change your flood elevation. And again, as Commissioner Fowler Payne asked, when you do that, the flood elevation data is updated and the individual property owner is notified. But apparently, that didn't necessarily change the boundary, although I'm not entirely certain on that. I'd have to go back and check that specific property.
So did elevations change at all, higher or lower?
As part of the flood insurance study, no.
Okay.
Yeah, all the changes that were made were outside of our city limits.
Okay. Thank you.
Did we make any change at all to Section 2 or Section 3 and 4, or just Section 1?
If you're referencing Exhibit A, the proposed ordinance, so that's all kind of boilerplate ordinance language that basically says here's the change, and then the subsequent language is if any of that's found to be illegal, only the portion that's illegal, et cetera, et cetera. So it's all boilerplate language standard for all ordinances.
Commissioners, have any other questions?
So what happens, in reading this where it says, where we automatically adopt the most recent available flood elevation data provided by FEMA. So that's what's included in this resolution. What would happen if we didn't automatically? Because if we do that, then we really aren't privy to what the changes are and if there is any changes within the city boundary. And we had indicated that they would notify the property owners, but would we get notification?
The Planning Commission directly, not necessarily. We could look at just a simple under staff communications at future meetings notifications if we do receive any changes to the boundaries or anything like that. Again, it's all reviewed by FEMA, and we do receive, if they do update any of the firm maps, we can look at notifications to the Planning Commission in the future.
Well, my concern was if we did, if things were changed, it would affect the property owner's insurance, number one, but it would also affect any future development because of being in a floodplain.
Yeah, absolutely. And so that's something that we do take a look at when people do come in for proposals. If any portion of your property is typically touched by a floodplain or more severely a floodway, then we do require all those flood analysis to be done by registered civil engineers.
That's all. Thank you.
Any other questions?
No? I'll make a motion. I move to approve a resolution of the Planning Commission of the City of Aurora Grande recommending the City Council adopt an ordinance approving Development Code Amendment Number 16-003 amending Title 16 regarding regulations for floodplain management citywide.
Second.
We have a motion to approve the resolution as is, and a second. Could you please get a roll call vote?
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Tyrell?
Yes.
Commissioner Feller Payne?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
Yes.
Chair George?
Yes. The motion carries 5-0.
And Chair George, if I may, the record will indicate that because there was no one in the audience, the public hearing was moved beyond
yes.
that.
I did not open for public comment because there was no one in the audience. I felt a little silly asking if anyone that isn't here wanted to step forward. But thank you. We're going to move on to non-public hearing items. 9A, the consideration of staff project 17-001, interpretation of Aurora Grande Municipal Code, definition of story. The location is citywide, and the applicant is the city of Aurora Grande. If we could please get a staff report.
Good evening, commissioners. So a bit of background upon this staff report and why it's coming in front of you. We've had a few projects over the last year or so involving rooftop decks, and essentially we've had some confusion within the department about the exact interpretation of a story within our municipal code. So we're bringing it forward to you today to just clarify that. So currently as defined in the Uniform Building Code, a story generally means portion of a building included between the upper surface of any floor and the upper surface of the floor next above, except that the topmost story shall be that portion of a building included between the upper surface of the topmost floor and the ceiling above. In previous interpretations, we've been considering them separate stories, mostly due to them requiring a safety railing to be put around that possible visual impact created by that rooftop deck, as well as people being present with on that deck. So previously, anyone proposing a second-story deck or rooftop deck with no other second-story addition, we've still been requiring to move through the viewshed review process, and would also be considered a third story in terms of a two-story structure adding a rooftop deck, and would trigger a conditional use permit. In terms of public notice for this project, the agenda was published or posted at City Hall and on the city's website, so we received no comments. And since this is just an interpretation of municipal code, no environmental review or CEQA exemptions are necessary. So the recommendation from staff today is that we adopt the resolution finding that a rooftop deck does, in fact, qualify as a second story, even though, as defined in the building code, it mentions having a rooftop or a roof above and a rooftop deck would not. We would still request that the resolution be approved, considering the rooftop deck a second story. And I'd be happy to answer any questions you have at this time.
Thank you. Do we have any questions for staff? Commissioner Mack?
So why is it that staff is saying that a roof deck is a story?
Well, we've been interpreting it as a story in previous cases, mostly due to the fact that we believe it to have a visual impact. So in the case of a garage having a rooftop deck put above, we believe that to have a visual impact upon neighboring properties, both in terms of the railing, the furniture, the people to be existing on top of it. So we've been considering a second story due to the fact that the viewshed review in single-family zoning is applicable for any time a second story is added.
And that's in the case of just a deck and not a covering above it?
Correct.
And visual is more in terms of people's privacy overlook?
Correct, yes. You'll have people on a second story overlooking fences and also with people looking out of their homes that present as well.
Okay. I look forward to discussing this with the Planning Commission.
Commissioner Shire.
So right now, if someone wanted to put a rooftop deck on a single-story home, and the elevation, let's just say, is a few feet higher below what your max is, you would still have to go through, if we were to do this, how would the process change, I guess is my question.
So the process wouldn't change from what we've been doing, actually. We've been requiring viewshed reviews for that in the past, and we would be continuing doing so with the adoption of this resolution.
You're just asking for a definition so that if someone were to bring that argument either legally or just saying, hey, so you're asking for just a actual
to
match what we've been doing.
Correct, yes. It's been a slight point of contention.
Okay. Thank you.
And additionally, if I may, so every time this kind of roof deck question comes up, and we are seeing it more and more, particularly now that the economy, you know, is turning around, people are making modifications to their homes. Every single time we as staff go back and say, okay, what did we do on the last one? Okay, we have been requiring this as a separate process, separate story. So we're looking for confirmation from the Planning Commission this evening, and moving forward, we will maintain consistency.
Commissioner Martin.
Thank you. You're looking, I guess my question is whether a deck would include any kind of trellis application or overhead shading framework. I don't want to put ceiling or roof on it, because I think it's going to be, you know, overstating it in reality. But if I, you know, under the example, if I'm going to put a second-story deck over a single-story garage or single-story home, that trellis modification or that overhead shading modification is going to have to now comply with height requirements and things like that on a two-story building. Has that been in practice taking place, although it hasn't been codified? What we're really trying to do is codify that application.
Correct.
Okay. Thank you.
Commissioner Fallopian.
Yeah, I was wondering, when we were talking about residential, does this apply to commercial and office professional as well?
We do not apply view shed reviews for second stories in commercial zones. However, if this was to be attached to a third story, that would trigger a conditional use permit, as any three-story structure in the City of Arroyo Grande requires.
So if it was in the village guidelines, would it, how's it affected within the historic village guidelines?
To my knowledge, it wouldn't impact the historic village guidelines, besides how we've already been applying current municipal code.
So whether it's residential or office professional or commercial, it would still have to be reviewed if it's in the village guidelines?
Correct.
Okay. That's all.
So you're asking us to approve a resolution to interpret the rooftop deck. Will it actually change the wording of the municipal code?
No, the wording of the municipal code will not change.
Should it change the wording of the municipal code so that there's no misinterpretation?
Depending on how the Planning Commission comes out of your discussion this evening, you know, we do keep a list of things in the municipal code as we go through it over time, that when we do what we call cleanup ordinances, where we change a whole bunch of stuff at once, we could look at potentially including some modification to that one way or the other, again, depending on the direction that the Planning Commission gives.
Because right now, if we recommend this, there really is nothing written in the municipal code that would mandate that a rooftop is a third story or a second story or its own story.
Correct. We do, on our administration end, we do keep all of those records of all the previous Planning Commission interpretations, and I actually went through them to make sure we hadn't addressed this issue before. So we do keep all of those records, so even though it's not codified, we have a record of it, and it'll be in the official action taken by the Planning Commission as well.
So if it's not changed in the municipal code, then does that allow for applicants to contest what you're recommending? Like, if you tell them they need to have a view shed review and it's not specified in the municipal code, then doesn't that open the city up for possible liability?
Not in this case, because you are making a formal declaration by the Planning Commission that we are interpreting the definition of a story as it's written in our code to include rooftop decks. So to my knowledge, it does not. And we've had that question come up on other Planning Commission interpretations that we've done in the past, and we haven't had any.
So, I have a lot of questions, sorry. So if there is, because I read in here that a lot of times it goes above the garage. So we have a two-story house, and next to the two-story house is a one-story garage, and now they're going to build a deck on top of that. Do they have to go through
of a second story does trigger another you should review process, and that would include a detached garage out in a rooftop deck in this case.
Okay. And so what it's saying here as far as disadvantages is that it would potentially require some cost and time on property owners for everyone to have to go through the new shed review. So my question is there a process that the city goes through? Because I know we have, we get notices of administrative decisions all the time. So is there a process that the applicant could go through where the city administrative takes a pass at it before it even has to get to us?
In terms of you should reviews, those are already administrative decisions. So they do not come to the Planning Commission already. It would only be in the case of a third story conditional use permit that you would see it.
Okay. And how extensive is a view shed review process?
It's a minor use permit, similar to the many you see on the administrative decisions, typically 2, 3, 4 weeks. If it's located in the village, it's a architectural review meeting outside of the village. They do not go to ARC. It's just an administrative permit. We do notify the neighbors, though, within 300 feet.
So when it is required to have a conditional use permit, is it pretty much the same process, or at that point does it have to go through the ARC?
That's when it would go through ARC, and it would also come in front of you. It would be a full public hearing.
If it's a conditional use. Those are all my questions. Thank you.
I have one more question. When a set of plans is submitted to the city for plan check and review, and there's a deck shown in the plans as opposed to a trellis and a covered area, are you figuring plan check fees on that as an area, as floor area?
Yes, currently that is calculated that way.
At the same rate as covered space?
Yes.
Okay.
Commissioners, have any comments regarding this item?
I have lots of comments.
Commissioner Mack, if I might. I was in agreement with that statement until the very last piece. I don't know that it's necessarily at the same exact rate as a covered area. We might have a separate rate, but I don't know that for certain. I'm not entirely clear on, I don't remember off the top of my head what the differences in the building fees are. But I wanted to kind of throw that out there.
So with my background being an architect and been in construction and doing this for many, many years, a story is a story. It has a roof covering. It's sheltered. It's something above. It's something protecting people, whether it's a trellis, a canopy, a roof covering. A deck is a deck, and it's not a story. We have seen a trend where roof decks are getting more popular. They're very popular in Shell Beach. Grover Beach started having a run on these as well, having a third level roof deck. It's not considered a story. Building code doesn't consider it a story. And visual overlook was an issue. And I'm going to refer to Grover Beach and Shell Beach and Pismo Beach. But what they did is they adjusted their development code to address visual overlook concerns. And we can do the same. And the way Grover Beach did it was, first of all, they limited the square footage of the upper roof deck, right, like to 500 square feet or whatever it was. And then they created design elements to shield the neighbors from visual overlook, and they actually mandated that the parapets are offset a certain distance, whether it was 5 feet, I don't remember whether it was 5 feet or a third of the width, so it wasn't all the way up to the edge of the building, because then your horizon starts going up to the horizon line as you're trying to look off that roof deck, and it's not looking into the people's backyards. And I think it's time to get smart about it and create some development code language that would be very precise, that would even eliminate this process and even having to go through view shed if they follow the rules. It has been done. And the thing is we haven't addressed it. And now we're trying to address it and police it and spend all these hours trying to look at, you know, whether we should allow roof decks or not. In my opinion, we should. We live on the Central Coast, most beautiful area in California, where you can see the ocean, you can see the hills, and now we're going to tell people who purchase land here that they can't enjoy their surroundings.
But when you're adding an extra 42 inches to the height of the building, which is essentially what you're doing when you're adding a 42-inch railing that's mandated by a roof deck, then you're also
it's not an allowance to allow to go higher than the maximum building height.
But these 42 inches, do they exceed the building height?
No.
No.
No, they do not.
No, we're not making an exception to build the buildings higher. It's a build whatever you want below the building height, whether it's a guardrail, a parapet, a mansard, a hip roof, a gabled in roof.
So that people who currently have a building who now want to come back and convert their rooftop to a rooftop deck, they'll all be denied because they're going to be, if they are above the limit, or will they be coming in asking for exceptions, which we know happens almost every time?
In general, most rooftop decks would not be located over the 30 feet. You typically see them on single stories, and those are the ones we've been running into in general. A viewshed review process, I would say rarely, if ever, is just a straight denial. It's very unlikely that someone would come in under 30 feet with a rooftop deck unless there was egregious impact on neighbors, or at least something that could not be mitigated in any way to really see a denial on that.
I'm going to throw another thing. I currently live in Berry Gardens. Everyone knows that. Every year, 4th of July, I can't tell you how many children are going on top of the roofs, their second-story roofs and their first-story roofs, to see the fireworks down at the beach. I think it would be much safer if we allow them an opportunity to have a deck up higher to have that opportunity instead of putting them at risk. People naturally want to gravitate to the highest elevation of their home to enjoy the view.
So at what point, when you put on a rooftop deck, do you then add potted plants that could possibly extend higher than the allotted height?
Then we write it into the ordinance. We write it into the development code restricting things from going over the height limit, whether they're natural or unnatural elements. There are ways to write the ordinance, and I would even direct staff to bring that section of the code from Gower Beach because they went through this. It even has exhibits and drawings and restrictions that address all that. And we don't have to, you know, reinvent the wheel. The wheel's already been addressed.
As long as we are cognizant of everyone's view and that we don't put into place something that could compromise a neighbor's view, because there's an expectancy there. When you have a home and you buy it and there's a home already there, you're expecting what you see. And if that changes, I just want to make sure that whatever we put into place accounts for that change and isn't. And so if that change is going to impede, then, yeah, it needs to go through a viewshed. And I'd rather be overly cautious. Whether that means writing a whole new ordinance, I'm not opposed to that. I just want to make sure whatever we do, that we are cognizant of the neighbors and protecting their views.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I'm saying we can set up the rules, and we can identify what we think. If the neighbors and the public doesn't come out and speak about this, well, then it's up to us, the commission,
right,
to decide what those rules and what those concerns are. But obviously, we don't want to have big parties and have 100 people on a roof deck. So I think you need to restrict the size. I think you need to restrict the location on the roof, because the further you get away from the property line, your line of sight is above the handrail, and it looks over the lots and not down into the lots. And San Luis Obispo adopted a stair-stepping approach to their second stories many, many years ago, because they had the issues with second stories and visual overlook looking in the first stories, and they purposely stepped their second story back another 5 feet. You can't build a two-story at a five-foot property line straight at a wall, straight up and down. You can't do it. And we don't even address that. So visual overlook is an issue, but it's an issue with two-story homes, too, and we don't address that at all. And we may even want to look at that, too. Because it's not just visual overlook, because there's a thing called allowing your home exposure to the sun as well and casting shade on your neighbor as well.
Right.
And we don't address that, and I think that's an important issue as well.
So it seems like there is two parts to tonight's discussion. One is whether or not we implement and approve this recommendation so that city has something to go with until we're able to get something else drafted, right? Because the other option is approve this and do nothing else, and the third option is not approve this and wait until what Commissioner Mack is requesting be implemented.
ever see it. I mean, 2.5 years ago, we sat here and we all acknowledged that we had problems with our parking standards. And 1.5 and 2 years went by before we were told, oh, we just hired a consultant now. We were going to do it. Staff's time and staff, da-da-da-da-da-da-da. It may never happen. I hate, right now, the ordinance is silent. The development code is silent on roof decks. But now they're asking us to rush an interpretation, and it doesn't exist. Because that's the way staff has interpreted amongst applicants in the past. This is the first time it's been brought before a planning commission. So what you're asking is let's bless staff's interpretation or opinion of what a roof deck is, and let them continue interpreting the way they have interpreted when the code is totally silent. We need to have language brought forth, clear the section of the development code or the new language within the development code for us to act on.
Right. So in the meantime, until that happens, staff is still going to continue to have to do something, right? So the question is, what is going to be the most consistent and concise direction that we can give staff when this comes up if we don't have the ordinance drafted yet? So I'm going to pass the mic to Mr. Downing there for some feedback.
Well, obviously, you know, I'll defer to what the commission says, but you're to some degree correct. If we do get direction to go ahead and we did look at Rubber Beach's standards for their roof decks, and I agree they are on the surface at least pretty good. Obviously, it would take vetting and all that kind of stuff, but until we have that interpretation, we will continue to ask the question, okay, what are we doing on these roof decks when they do come up? It's become just a question that we've continued to ask the last year or so, but not the previous really 4 years or so. We will just continue to have that struggle until we either do the ordinance or take some other action.
John, would you rather see the status quo as they're doing it now change right now? So how would you do that?
I would not go start saying roof decks are a story and make that interpretation. But if there is visual overlook concerns, we have a view shed set up for reviewing overlook issues already. Right. And we just say condition the projects to go through that view shed process until we come up with the definition of the roof deck, whether it's a story or not, and the criteria regarding roof decks. And that's something that should be brought back right away. That's not something that should be taken years to do.
Can we request that?
Well, if I may, if we do not consider roof decks to be a story, then we would not be going through the view shed review process. So view shed review does outline specifically when it's when it's triggered. If we do not consider a roof deck to be a second story, it would not fall under the view shed review procedure. And so therefore, we would just be approving them administratively. So I did want to make that clarification.
And you have been considering that as a second story, even though it's informal or non-codified interpretation at this point by staff, when applicants are then coming in and seeking a roof deck, either addition or as part of a new construction. That's how you've been interpreting that.
That's correct. In order to continue to have the neighbor notification that there is going to be an activity change on the neighboring property where you might see, not 100 people, as Commissioner Mack pointed out, but you might see some additional activity up there because they are turning that into a separate space, a separate activity area, and a separate story. So that's how we've been, up to this point, interpreting it ourselves.
Well, I'm happy to agree with Commissioner Mack and acknowledge that a roof deck is not a full story by definition. I guess for me, there are certainly legitimate view shed issues
part of it for me is even structural and human activity. You know, we may not be creating a bedroom or a playroom that is, you know, covered or is a typical room, you know, over a garage, for as an example. But certainly by creating a staircase and flooring, and whether there's a trellis or just a rail, there is expected human activity that's going to be taking place on there. So for me, it would seem to me that there could be some construction issues related to that. If I've just got a framed, you know, fairly simple hipped garage, the structure of that garage may not be appropriate to handle a second story construction. And my fear is if we do nothing and we go back to a formal interpretation, that has not been the case, we'd lose that opportunity to do that. I agree that it's entirely probable that wanting to define a roof deck as a formal story may be an overreach. I'm of the opinion to want to approve this tonight with a specific caveat to go back to city staff and have them look at that and let's get a more formalized and a better, more appropriate interpretation of a deck that would include the health and safety issues surrounding human activity, as well as the view shed issues, and whether we as a community want to have setbacks such as they are in San Luis, or we want to do something that's perhaps more consistent with what we see in some of the neighboring communities. But I'm reluctant to deny this tonight, because I think that by denying it, we set staff back from a habit and a practice that they've been doing, and I think in good faith have been trying to deal with, you know, view shed issues. And although I'm the one who brought it up when it wasn't brought up earlier, but I think also just some of the construction issues around creating a second floor deck where in the past there may not have been any deck at all, but, you know, just a hipped roof over a garage or some other structure.
I'm in agreement with Commissioner Martin. I find the view shed review necessary. So is there a way to reframe, is there a way to reword it so that we're not calling a rooftop deck a story, but at the same time requiring that a rooftop deck come back for view shed review?
Short of directing staff to go ahead proceed with an ordinance to amend the development code and add possibly a definition of roof deck and any subsequent standards or design amenities thereto, no, there would not be any other, currently as we sit here tonight, no other way to ensure that a view shed review or similar activity happened.
I have another question. Prior to going to, like, let's say a view shed, at what point does the Architecture Review Committee get included in reviewing the roof deck?
The ARC would typically only be involved in a number of instances. Either it's located in the Historic Character Overlay District, in which case all projects such as that would have to be reviewed by them, or if it's in the one of our commercial areas. So if it is a commercial business that may not, if it's only the second story, as planning technician Anderson pointed out, we would do the what we call the plot plan review. So it's another administrative permit, but because it is in the commercial district, we do refer it to the Architecture Review Committee. Specifically, one of the instances and why we said, you know, we need to define this is existing commercial structure wanted to fill in a portion of an open area and put a roof deck on top of it, which according to how we've been doing it, would have made the roof deck a third story and would have triggered a conditional use permit, which instead of, you know, several hundred dollars would have been a few thousand dollars. So really it was kind of that, how do we continue to process this specific proposal? Those are the instances that it would actually go to the ARC. But outside, if it's just in a standard single-family zone, it wouldn't go to the ARC.
Because it seems to be we don't want to make it so cost-prohibitive. I mean, that's kind of what we're doing here, is we're making it so cost-prohibitive that people won't even consider doing the roof deck. Whereas if you made it achieve at a lesser cost to the applicant.
Well, the difference in price between the... Okay, so we have multiple... we have our minor use permits, and then we have multiple subcategories. So one of them is the viewshed review. So we have minor use permit, viewshed review. The minor use permit architectural review is, I believe, $400 now, if I remember from when the council updated the fees last year, versus the viewshed review, which is about $700-somewhat. So there is a cost difference. Between processing those, the issue would be architectural review, we don't notify the neighbors, whereas viewshed review, we do. That's part of the process that's built in. Part of the reason why it costs additional is because we staff sends out the notices, sends out the mailers, pay for postage, all of that kind of stuff. So in terms of, I'm trying to think of a good way to get to your point, without doing more of a development code amendment, given the way the code is set up now and the processing guidelines for each of the different permits, I don't see how we could accomplish specifically what you're referencing without just saying roof decks don't count as a story and therefore we don't require viewshed review. But the way it's set up now, we wouldn't be able to.
Correct me if I'm wrong. If the roof deck is on the third floor, that triggers a conditional use permit.
Again, if it's considered a story, yes. If we don't consider it a story, then it falls into that gray area, and again, we would just be.
And that's what I was getting at is the what's the profit process? What's the cost of a conditional use permit?
Minor conditional use permit currently is $4,500-some-odd, I believe. I don't foresee a roof deck conditional use permit being what we call a major conditional use permit, which would be upwards, I believe, of $11,000. But it would. So that's the cost.
That's my point. Yep. A $600 or $800 item now become $2,000 to $4,000 item the second you want to put it on the second level roof deck. You're making a $4,000 process for the person to ask permission.
Well, that would be the case in a commercial or mixed-use district if they're putting it above an actual second story. So if you had a two-story and then had a staircase up to a third story, that would be when the conditional use permit comes into play. Just to do the second-story addition on new commercial structures require conditional use permit, but if you were to modify and expand a second story on an existing commercial structure, you would do a plot plan review, and it would be back to about $600. So if you, let's say, put a roof deck on top of a single-story commercial structure, it would still be a plot plan review. It wouldn't be the several thousand dollars, but if you were to do on top of an already existing second story, then it would be the conditional use permit.
So how extensive and how long and would it take and how much money would it cost to draft an ordinance to amend the development code? I mean, I feel like we all kind of want the same thing. We want to protect the viewshed. We want to review, but we don't necessarily want to call it a story. So if we recommend tonight's resolution and you come back later drafting an ordinance that modifies the development code, can we then take back that is no longer a story because now rooftop decks have their own category?
You could, in crafting a motion, if it sounds like you want to adopt the resolution, you could modify that in such a way to basically, I don't want to say condition the interpretation, but essentially condition the interpretation until a formal development code amendment addressing roof decks is adopted by the council.
Any more discussion, commissioners?
somebody came in with a new, putting a new residence in, and they wanted to have this deck on the top of their garage, would it just be under the same general building permit application process, or are you still going to look at it as a view shed review?
If someone were coming, like, for instance, although we're not on that item yet, so
yeah.
I can't speak, but if someone were, let's say, tearing down an existing residence and building a two-story structure, we would do the view shed review on that. The only instance in a single-family zone where we wouldn't do it is if it's just a vacant, non-developed residential lot. And when the view shed review ordinance was actually put in place, at that time the council had some serious discussion about it and said that if you have a vacant residential lot, there's a reasonable expectation that somebody could build a second story. But if it's already an existing developed lot that has a single-story home on it, that expectation does go down. So that's the reason why that is like that. So does that answer your question?
It really wasn't a question. I was just referencing this to say, you know, because this appears to be a new one, but you did answer it saying on a vacant lot versus an existing structure would be handled differently.
Correct.
I know I've done the view shed review quite extensively, actually. Commissioner Martin?
I'm trying to create wording here without creating too much change, recognizing we're in a situation tonight with looking at an imperfect solution with more work that needs to be done, and I'm hopeful that we can create something here that we can approve and support staff in their current efforts to interpret the rules, but at the same time create something that we can, that's more workable for the future. Is it possible, as we look at this resolution, we can, making the interpretation, if we look like in that fourth or fifth paragraph of this resolution, making the interpretation of roof deck shall be considered separate stories, but can we add wording in here without getting into our public hearing issue? Well, this is a non-public hearing item, isn't it?
Yes.
But requesting, the words that I put down here was request a formal review and submission of specific definition for rooftop decks, because I think what I'm hearing from my fellow commissioners, certainly the way I believe, right, the way I feel, is that a rooftop deck certainly has some, if not many, attributes of a story, but may not or should not have necessarily all the attributes of a story. And I think that it's certainly appropriate. It sounds like this is what was done in the neighboring communities, and it sounds like our local ordinance is silent in this area, and it seems like your effort tonight is to try to get some clarification, and it may have been, at some level, I'm going to say an overreach and all due respect to staff, but it sounds like what we really need to do is, rather than just approve or define a rooftop deck as a story, that this really does require some additional work and interpretation. So a rooftop deck may have its own category or have some, here again, some attributes, definitions that include some aspects of a second story, but perhaps not all of them. So I'd like to be able to amend this resolution to include a formal review and submission of specific definition for rooftop decks. Is that doable under the constraints that we have here under the within the Planning Commission on this item?
Absolutely. So Chair George mentioned, kind of a number of things you can do. You can do nothing this evening and say no and don't direct staff to do anything, in which case we would not do the view shed review process for roof decks. You could say, no, we don't think it's a story, but we do want you to come back in the future with development code amendment, essentially, with definitions and some standards. If you do go that route, I will say I'd like some follow-up consensus items, just as they're popping into my head, but I'll address those separately. You could say, yes, we agree for the purposes of the process that you're making these go through, we agree that it is a story, and we still want you to come back with a development code amendment. Or you could say, yes, we agree that it's a story, so you can do the viewshed review process, but we don't want to change anything. So those are kind of your four separate options. You can do any of those. The staff direction, it doesn't necessarily need to be noticed, so we can do some of that staff direction as well. And how we would do that is essentially in a motion that's made, you know, the resolution of Planning Commission interpreting that a rooftop deck is to be classified as a separate story until such time as, and how, what the way that it would be worded in the resolution itself is in that last now therefore be it resolved recital, we would expand that, that this interpretation lasts until a development code amendment is done for roof decks.
So I say until such time as an ordinance is drafted to amend the development code with definitions and standards defining rooftop deck. I'm adding extra words there.
You've got about 85% of the words that I have. We can come up with five different ways. I think
as long as
writing about the same
as
thing.
As long as we get them all in, it doesn't matter if they're my words or your words.
I agree.
Make sure that we're all on the same page.
Going to give it a shot. So I was just going to throw some. Wow. Yeah. I think we're all in agreement. Yes, we want right now the roof decks to be reviewed with a view shed. But no, we're not in agreement that it's defined as a story. But what we like is we like language and exhibits to come back to the Planning Commission to amend the development code to allow rooftop decks within a building, regardless of how many stories the building may have. I think we can create the language to set those decks in where you'll never see them. Okay, because I've done it, and I've been charged to do that in many jurisdictions. And you can go buy a home that's being built right now in Shell Beach. You can't tell there's a roof deck on it. No one can. But they still have that intimacy and privacy and enjoyment of the view.
Yeah, absolutely.
But that's when you come back with a revised
ordinance. Then they would come back.
Right.
But also with language to amend our development code, whether it's
right.
adding a section or dovetailing onto
right.
roofs or appendages or wherever you want to put in the development code or creating a new code section. And with that, I would also direct staff to seek out those examples so it cuts down on staff's time in reinventing the wheel.
But I see the issue as if we recommend tonight, we're recommending that it be called a separate story. That's what they're asking for clarification for tonight. So if we do that and we amend the resolution, is there a way to amend it so that we then, once we get a formal definition of the rooftop deck, it's no longer considered a story?
Yes, and that
okay.
goes back to what you and Commissioner Martin were referencing. I'm trying to think of a way, Commissioner Mack, to have the viewshed review process be required without defining at least on an interim basis, defining a rooftop deck as a story. I'm given the processes and the triggers for viewshed review as they're currently set out. I don't see how that's currently possible without doing the kind of interim definition. So
without changing the development code tonight.
Right.
Which
we can't do.
Which we can't do.
I like the idea for a couple of reasons. Number one, I know that it's more work for you up front, but I think it will save work for you later. And also as an architect, not being an architect, but being a contractor, knowing that what you can draw up the first time is right saves so much time in having to redraw stuff because there's this gray area out there that nobody knows what it's really supposed to be like. So that's one of the reasons why I like this idea.
So it sounds like, for the most part, we're all in agreement. We just have to get the wording now.
I think that I don't want to prejudge. I don't don't see 100% consensus on this, but I'm going to make a stab at a motion, and we can certainly discuss the merits of that and see whether or not that gets enough votes to pass tonight or not. But I move that the Planning Commission approve the resolution of the City of Aurora Grande interpreting that a rooftop deck is to be classified as a separate story in Section 16.040.070 of the Aurora Grande Municipal Code, as this resolution is written with the following changes. In the paragraph that currently reads, "Now therefore be it resolved that the Planning Commission of the City of Aurora Grande hereby makes the interpretation that rooftop decks shall be considered separate stories," I'd like to see added, you know, removal of that period, "as an interim solution until such time that a formal review and submission of specific definition for rooftop decks is forwarded through a potential amendment to the development code." It's an imperfect solution. That's the end of that quote. I'm happy to share that wording or say it again. We can see how close we can get to that.
Can we put a time frame on that? Because that could be an infinite amount of years.
Say 6 months.
I'd like to see within 6 months or 2 months or 3 months. I mean, right now our agendas are really light right now. This is the perfect time to start addressing some of the holes in our development code.
Well, and I think that's appropriate. The fact that our meeting and our agendas are light does not necessarily mean that staff time is light. Hopefully, there's a fair amount of work that's going and getting approved and worked on across the desks of staff that are not looking for exemptions to the codes and ordinances. My guess is that they're reasonably busy. The fact that our agendas are light certainly does reflect that things are going more smoothly than we might know about or something like that. I don't have any problem putting a time frame, a limitation on it. For my personal experience in dealing with staff, I think a two-month might be a bit short. I think something minimum of four, about a 4 to 6 month window. I'm not seeing this as an emergency or even as an emergency request, but I do see that what I'm hearing tonight is that staff has been interpreting these rooftop decks as stories and have, in general, have not seen a lot of pushback from applicants, but there's certainly either some real pushback or for potential for pushback because of the lack of clarity or the silence that the ordinance has on this, and they're just saying, hey, we want to bring this to Planning Commission's view and review and attention for us to be able to do that. So I think it's appropriate for us to take some steps to protect the city and protect staff and the efforts that they've had. I like and I support the resolution, but I also recognize that this truly is an interim solution. I don't think by us approving this tonight is going to keep us from being able to reinterpret that rooftop deck as something less than a full story at some future time to answer the question of Commissioner George. So that's why I've worded it. We're happy to seek a second and have some discussion on this.
So how, how feasible is it to draft an ordinance to come back to the Planning Commission within 4 months?
I admittedly do not like those questions for a number of different reasons.
Sorry.
Obviously, particularly last year, in July, when the council did identify 10 top council goals for this coming year, one of them was the parking study. So we're constantly working on those, as well as getting the development review pieces that we have in. I'm going to make Sam do it, so I think it's rather feasible that we can get it done. So I think it's feasible. If what I would say is, if we can't, for some reason, rush on building plans or some other issue pops up, at least we would come back with a four-month kind of informational, hey, here's where we're at on this. So we could absolutely do something like that if we can't make that 4 month.
So will it require an extension after those 4 months if we write it in this way? That if for some reason 4 months passes and nothing happens, what happens to our resolution tonight?
My suggestion would be I wouldn't put necessarily a time limit in the resolution itself. I would, if the commission's in agreement, make the modifications as outlined by Commissioner Martin, but also direct staff to make that return within 4 months, or at least bring a status update on where we are in that. And I can guarantee after our staff meeting tomorrow morning, Sam will start eloquently borrowing Grover Beach's standards, as I like to put those types of things. So, I foresee that we could probably at least get the development code amendment in front of you within the 4 months. But I unfortunately can't necessarily predict what's going to happen in 4 months.
I think you can at least get information before us within 4 months. I can get information for us to look at and see how other jurisdictions have addressed it.
Absolutely.
What I'm hearing is nothing's going to come before us for a long time when we can Google it right now and it's online and we can see it.
That's not how I understood what I know.
I'm kind of hoping we can get it before the public and get it before this discussion so we can start talking about and formulating and help formulate language and the real issues of concern of the view shed and overlook. And so it should take 4 months.
So the only changes I would recommend making to your resolution is where you said formal review of specific definitions. I would add and standards and guidelines.
That's fine.
Because it's more than just defining what it is, it's also setting guidelines and standards,
yes,
what we want it to be. So that would be my amendment.
And allowing the Planning Commission to review those guidelines and standards,
right,
so we can start formulating opinions of the key issues.
I just wanted to make one comment. We're not just looking at as far as view shed overlay of obstructing the view from your neighbor, but the privacy you've lost by the deck overlays into your adjacent property owners.
So that could be, one of the pieces that comes out. Originally, what I was going to do was suggest that getting some consensus on issue topics so that we could go back and start crafting some kind of ordinance. Based on Commissioner Mack's comments, I think what we will probably do is kind of do a quick, by quick I don't mean surface, but get working on it rather quickly and say, here's some of the issue topics we identified. You give us more direction on which issue areas are specifically of concern to you. Then we'll go back and continue working on it and come back again. So
it sounds like that the cities of San Luis Obispo and Pismo Beach and Grover Beach and perhaps others, even within our county, if not going out into Santa Barbara or San Mariano, you don't need to go to every nook and cranny of the state in order to do that, but it sounds like locally we already have two or three examples at least that will help give a framework and a starting point, for staff to go and do something and draft something that can be presented that can attack a number of these different issues, whether there's view shed or shading or setbacks or structural issues, that I think that are all pertinent issues on a rooftop deck that can be unique or different from just a regular definition as a second or third story on a project. I'm expecting that to happen. I'm just, I don't want to. Here again, I'm a believer that this work needs to be done, and we need to be able to give you the freedom in order to do that. But I'd rather give you the freedom to do that than try to come up tonight with a laundry list of 47 things that you're supposed to cover and find out that we forgot one, or there's one that's that we've got three on there that we don't need to have. I think you certainly get the intent of what we're really trying to accomplish. And I think that in that regard, I'm hearing some fairly strong consensus. There's certainly differences of opinion on how we go about to do that or to the extent that some of this needs to be done now or to be done in the future.
4-month time frame on this development, but would it be out of line to say, you know, maybe not at the next meeting, but 4 weeks from now at that meeting, that you come back with a drafted list of items for us to review?
You could possibly do it as a non-agenda item, a non-public hearing item, and disperse this information.
We could do that, in which case it would kind of be a non-public hearing, just kind of informational session item. There's a number of different ways you could proceed forward tonight. There's also a number of different ways that we could approach this. We could open up a development code amendment tomorrow morning and either get consensus tonight on the issues that you want us to address. We could draft the ordinance and bring it to you. We could pull it so far back as, again, to do the informational meeting where it's just we're talking about this issue area, but we're not necessarily proposing any modifications that night. But here's what we like, here's what we don't like, and then we'll bring forward the development code amendment. The table's kind of open to you in terms of how you want to structure that.
Whatever is the swiftest and most efficient is what I would recommend. So I'm going to pass it back to you, just because you know what your staff has to do. So what would be the most efficient way to get what we want accomplished?
Depends.
Depends how
as a planner, that's my favorite response to questions. It depends. We could go back. We could write a new ordinance with specific changes, run it through our internal review process with building, police, fire, all those folks. And we could bring it to you, and you could tell us it's completely wrong, go back and do it again. We could bring it. It could be, yes, this is exactly what we want. Let's move it forward. So it kind of depends. I would tend to recommend that based on the discussion that we're having, and there seems to be consensus in a lot of areas, but maybe some divergence in the exact intensity of those topics, what we would do is probably do kind of a skeletal, here's what we're thinking on changes, here's issue areas and how other cities will keep it locally, probably local other cities in our county and Santa Barbara County to our south, how they're dealing with this, provide more, are we on the right track, provide more feedback, and then we'll come back with a formal ordinance. That would be my recommendation based on the comments.
I take the faith leap that staff is not going to look for the most burdensome solution anyway. And I think there is some flexibility. No matter what you bring back, it's going to be exposed to a review and comment from the five of us sitting here. And even at that point, when it ends up in front of City Council, there could be a just a review and comment and changes made at that point in time. I'd like to just proceed. And to me, I think we've kind of beaten this horse enough tonight, and I'd like us to proceed.
Did you want to add it?
Well, I'm looking for a second. There's no second for this motion at this point. I didn't hear.
But did you put the time in there? Did I miss that part?
I did not put the time in, and I'm happy to defer to staff that the time limitation not be included with this resolution. I've got faith that if we direct staff to come back in 3 to 4 months to give us a status report, if we don't have something more complete at that point, that we'll get a kind of a status report on why they've been unable to do that at that point. The only changes that I heard was I put in submission of a specific definition for rooftop decks, and Chair George requested we put standards and guidelines in there, however that needs to get worded in there to make that sentence cogent sentence. I'm happy to have that added in there. But I think that this, if we add to that paragraph, that now therefore paragraph, after separate stories as an interim solution until such time that a formal review, however I worded that, my notes are all over the page here.
Have specific definitions, standards, and guidelines of rooftop decks.
Right. Through an amendment personally don't have a need to put 4 months into that resolution. If there are others that want to put that in, that's up to others. But
I heard that they could do at least a skeleton approach for us to comment on that, that we have to take action on.
And I'm not questioning or doubting that. I, for one, don't need to see the four-month limitation included in that resolution.
So we currently have a motion that does not include a time limit. Do we have a second on that?
Second.
Okay, so we have a first and a second on the motion that Commissioner Martin has spoken, which I cannot repeat, that has no timeline attached to it. Can we get a roll call vote, please?
Commissioner Martin?
Yes.
Commissioner Fowler-Ping?
Yes.
Commissioner Mack?
No.
Commissioner Shiro?
Yes.
Chair George?
Yes. And the motion carries 4-1. So then it is our greatest hope that since there is no timeline added to this amendment, that it will take top priority on Sam's to-do list tomorrow morning.
And we may even ask him how he's doing it the next year.
If, in fact, there's a goal of a four-month window, if we see it in 2 months, none of us would be unhappy.
I have a rookie question. Can a planning commissioner bring something onto the agenda?
You can. Typically, that would come during the commission communications portion of the evening, in which case we would look for a consensus of the commission to actually put that onto another agenda.
I guess my question past that, if, let's say in 4 months, one of us has the memory that, like, it's been 4 months, can we call you up and say this needs to be on the agenda, or how's the agenda set? I guess that's my rookie question.
and who sets it? Typically, it's set, by depending on what projects are currently being worked on. So, if it's development related and we have specific timelines and procedures that we have on that, then we would bring that forward and schedule it as we see available. What we try and do with the Planning Commission is not necessarily load a bunch of items on one night. Because we recognize that you are volunteers on the board, so we don't want you to be here till 11, 12 o'clock at night. So we do try and balance some of that. So if we have things with specific timelines that need to be on for one reason or another, then we will, for instance, at your next meeting, you'll be getting the general plan annual report, and that has a specific timeline associated with it that we have to get it on. Then we'll have those types of meetings. If we anticipate something to be a larger, more controversial issue, a recent development over on Cherry Avenue being one of those types of instances, then we might hold other projects off, knowing that that itself might take longer. So that's, I hope that answers your question.
Kind of.
Okay, and that ends our non-public hearing item, so we'll move to notice of administrative decisions. And it looks like we had two, one on 301 South Mason Street and one on 250 Ridgeview Way. Did the commissioners have any questions or comments?
I have one on the Ridgeview Way. On the setback reduction, when I read the staff report and it said 10%, why? If the setback is 10 feet, they're only wanting all they're asking is for a 1 foot exception on that setback? And why?
So in regards to that project, they were requesting the minor exception in order to shift the garage out of the neighbor's view shed. That was one of the biggest concerns with that property, is the neighbor above them and the construction of the new two-story residence and the construction of the garage. By allowing that exemption, it allowed the project to be a superior project, kept the garage in a more desirable location. Strict enforcement of the regulation in that case would have forced them to shift the garage forward further into their neighbor's view shed review. With, in staff's opinion, no real tangible benefit to the project, which is why that was granted.
Thank you.
Commissioner Mack.
I had the exact same question. Thank you. If it benefits the project, that's great for a view shed, but we shouldn't be arbitrarily changing the setback, usually there needs to be a good idea whether it's an existing structure that's on there that's not conforming, but we should just, okay, approve variances to our development code with a good reason. But if it increases the view of our neighbor, that's a good reason.
When we're addressing something like that, where it's a view shed, obviously you're saying this was because of the view shed review, is there a possibility, rather than just getting this administrative sheet, that we can have maybe an 8.5 by 11 reduction of what they're doing so that we can see? I mean, it's hard to visualize even when you go to the site, but there, you know, there's nothing out there.
I would have to check into that. So, you know, we run into the swinging pendulum of regulation is what I like to call it. So we could refer all these things to the Planning Commission directly. We find people then tend to say, you know, you're making me jump through too many hoops by making me go to the Planning Commission. That's why we have the list of administrative items. It's things we've already taken action on, but if you have a very serious concern, then you can call it up for review by a majority vote. We would have a public hearing on it. But I would have to look into that request specifically, because that might be, I don't know legally if that would be walking that fine line of you're basically calling it up for review without calling it up for review. So I'll check into that for next meeting.
So you're saying even if we just have a vicinity map for attached to this, it would require it to be a public? Or
I don't know. That's why I want to look into it.
Thank you.
Commission communications. Did commissioners wish to communicate anything?
The only comment I think, maybe just worthy, just because we're here, I believe all five of us are going to be attending the California League of Cities Planning Commissioner Academy next week. And so I look forward to bumping into each one of you next week down in Los Angeles.
We'll see you there. I was actually going to ask about exactly what was put on our desk, and I believe all our commissioners got the same copy of Planning Commission Member Attendance to Architecture Review, Historical Resources Committee meetings, and the calendars for that. So, there's a new commissioner. This is something that we do that the Planning Commission members take their turn at going to these meetings.
Well, Commissioner Mack covered one of mine, so don't move that off my desk. So, yeah, if there's a specific, you know, meeting that you can't attend for one reason or another, obviously contact us. Just let us know. We do have a couple dates in there that are to be determined, so those mostly are the ARC dates except for the one HRC date. Those are the standing federal holidays. So in those instances, we either do special meetings for that committee or just cancel that meeting and go to the next regular meeting. So we'll let Commissioner Shiro and Commissioner George know about those two items as they go along. So that's that topic. On a related note, obviously this last weekend was a rather forceful weather event. I wanted to highlight the work that our public works staff, our police, and our fire department all put into trying to move trees out of roadways, keep storm drains clear to where they're still draining water. Also, I don't know the exact limits anymore, but I do know that a lot of folks were impacted with power outages. So we appreciate the PG&E staff who's been working very, very hard in order to get out there and restore power safely to those folks. We do, you know, we're still dealing with it on our end, doing some safety-related inspections and things like that. We've had to red tag some residences because of imminent threat of trees falling over onto them. So also we have a couple city facilities that are currently closed because of that. So Kiwanis Park is currently closed due to tree-related issues, as well as the Women's Center is currently closed and not seeing anything else. So that was the other thing I wanted to say. To see those folks out during that event, you know, it's always knee needs to be acknowledged. So thank you to our to all of our staff who handled that. And then one of the other items, so I already mentioned one of the items you'll be seeing next meeting is the general plan annual report. And then at the next council meeting, which is a week from today, Tuesday the 28th, will actually be the outgoing commissioner recognition period. So, Chair George, you brought up at the last meeting an opportunity to recognize Commissioner Keene for all of his service on the board. That would be the opportunity to do that. So it would include all the city's commissions and boards. So if you'd like to attend that, that would be at the beginning part of the meeting next Tuesday. And that...
Yes, we'll be at our event.
So you won't be able to be there, but if you want to send along well wishes, we'll be happy to pass them along.
I think we should all get a card together and we all sign it.
Going back to the storm issue, I'm sorry. Going back to the storm issue, I know that a lot of citizens have been asking if the city plans on having a specific day where green waste pickup might be more lenient. You know, Christmas trees, they always put them on the curb. Is the city looking into that or working with the waste management company at all for possibly a day where they can pick up extra green waste?
We could look into that. I'll refer that question to our Public Works Department. They deal with South County Sanitary Service. So I'll forward that request along just to see. You know, we're reaching out to a lot of different people right now, so
right.
We can add that one to the list.
Great. Thank you so much.
I wanted to ask you a question. I know I drove up James Way a couple of times this week, and that park up there, a lot of those small trees are down. Is there a way to save those and put their root system back in the ground, or are they just lost?
Yeah, each tree is different. So we were looking at some of the pictures this morning. You know, one tree fell over, and you can see a perfect root ball. It's just as if it just went. So, you know, each tree is different. I know that Mr. McClure, who you will remember from last meeting, will be out there looking. He's looking at all the what we're calling the leaners, so the trees that, you know, if the wind shifts the right way and blows hard enough, they might fall over. He's looking at all those right now, so I think that's kind of the first concern, and then coming back and taking a look at the ones that already have fallen if we can save them. So special thanks to Pete McClure as well.
Question for staff, which could be good to know. I go to the Lopez Lake level site, and it's usually down, not operating, not working, but I heard the latest report is Lopez Lake is up to 50%.
52.
Yeah, and if it's up to 50, whatever percent, at what time can we let our citizens know they're not on water rationing anymore?
You're on fire today. That actually came up this morning as well. So we, even though we are currently at 50%, or actually 52% as of about 10 o'clock this morning, we are still under the governor's emergency mandate. So all of our emergency measures will remain in place until that gets lifted.
I thought we just had to have a certain amount of reserves for a certain amount of years and our capacity of the lake to be lifted off of that.
That's part of it, yes. I admittedly don't know the specifics of that. Our utilities manager, Shane Taylor, is, you know, the encyclopedia when it comes to that kind of stuff. But he specifically said this morning that until the governor lifts the emergency, we'll continue to do that. And he has goals we'd like to get rid of the baselines and things like that.
Because there are neighbors coming over going, it's raining out, I got a notice from the city, I went over my lock, and they're like, well, go talk to the city.
And they do. And they do. And that, you know, that is the hard part about all of that is you can look outside and, well, it's not raining right now, but, you know, it's been raining rather forcefully, and we've seen the reservoir go up rather significantly, but until that emergency declaration either expires or is rescinded, we'll continue to have those processes in place.
So is that retroactive active after the governor makes a statement?
It's a good question. I don't know about that. And that didn't come up, so let me ask that question.
I know Grover has a meeting next Monday night on their water issues, and
Aren't they getting 25% of LOPIS?
I don't know their specific allocation. It's a certain number of acre feet every year that can be delivered from LOPIS. So I don't know exactly what they're at.
I thought that's what it was. I have property down there in Grover, so I plan on attending Monday night.
I just think it'd be, you know, to tan on that, I think it'd be a really good idea to let our citizens know, you know, when that would be.
And that's exactly what
it would be in the penalty phase.
Exactly.
Anymore.
Yep.
Letting the word out.
Getting the word out that, yes, it's raining outside, and we're still implementing this until this time. Yeah, that came up, and the need to notify the citizens. So.
Or at least the city look at it, or make a recommendation to city council to, you know, maybe we could reduce the fines. I mean, because that is city-driven. I mean, now that, you know, we're in a period where the lake level is, you know, tripled from where it was almost, and maybe our fines can be reduced.
Could be. If we still have conservation goals to meet and we reduce fines, I don't know how that would play. I would leave that to Mr. Taylor to work through. But, yeah, we could